This week, we are starting a series that I have wanted to do for a few years, but I just never could find the inspiration and the plan to do it. But this last week, the thoughts began to come together. And so this new series that we're going to have is called The Facts of Life. Remember the old show, The Facts of Life? You know, you take the good, you take the bad, you take them both. And there you had The Facts of Life. So this new series is a look at things that many question but are absolutely true. Now, our world has a hard time with facts. You have news, and then you have what people call fake news, and you have whistleblowers, and you have everything in between. This series is going to dive into some of the foundational issues of faith that many in the world question. They are the facts of life. You know, I read a story about a major multinational company a few years ago was looking for a new marketing director. And after much advertising and many applications, there were three candidates that entered the final selection process. One was a mathematician, one was a statistician, and one was a solicitor. The first to be invited for the final interview was the mathematician. And the managing director asked him a simple question. He said, "What is 2 + 2? The mathematician was surprised, but he thought about it for a bit. He wondered if it might be a trick question, but then he simply just answered, "Well, 2 + 2 = 4. And then the managing director looked at the board. They shook their head and thanked them for coming, but you're not the candidate we're looking for. The statistician was next, and the managing director asked him that simple question, "What is 2 + 2? He paused, thought about it for a bit, and then he replied that statistically, it was a number between 3 and 5. The managing director smiled, and the board was quite impressed. The candidate was thanked, and he was ushered out. The last candidate was a solicitor, and he was invited in onto the interview, and the managing director, too, asked him that same simple question. He said, "What is 2 + 2? Without batting an eyelid, he replied, "What do you want it to be?" And he was hired on the spot. A huge issue in our world is the truth. Does it exist? Is it objective? Can truth be true for one person and not true for another? Our world has basically thrown the idea of truth out like the baby with the bathwater. For what matters, for most, what matters is their truth, not the truth. So where does that leave us? This is one of those sermons where we're going to be kind of not in one place, but we're going to start our journey over in the book of John in the 18th chapter. Most of us are familiar with this text. It's right in the middle of the trial of Jesus, right there. In the end, he is standing before Pilate, and Pilate asks him some questions, and he asks him the things that he wants to know, and Jesus begins by answering his question there in verse 36. Jesus answered, he says, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered over, might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" And Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And after he had said this, he went back outside of the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you right now. We thank you and we praise you for your blessings. Father, we ask right now that you would take this time, Father, use it for your glory. Father, use me as a vessel of the words that I speak. Be yours and yours alone. Father, we thank you and we praise you. And we ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and for his sake. And all God's people said. I could have started with the obvious point here, but I didn't make it a point because it's our title. Our first fact of life, there is truth. There's truth. Jesus clearly says so in this passage. But this text reveals some more things about it. And the first thing that it reveals is that we're all searching for truth. Whether it's a universal truth or a personal truth, whether it's yours, whether it's mine, whether it's ours, whether it's shifting, whether it's firm, we're all looking for it. Here, it's Pilate who says, "What is truth?" This is the most powerful man in the area. He answers to no one in that area because he is where everything comes to. He's the guy. And if he's looking for truth, If he's searching for what the truth is, that means everybody below him also is searching for something. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you're from. We're all searching for truth. Whether we like it or not, this search connects us. For everyone in the world, this is a point of connection. You know, so many times somebody will say, you know, I really wish they knew Jesus. And I'll say something like, well, why don't you share Jesus with them? And people will say, but they're so different than I am. They're not like me. They go to different places. They do different things. They have different values. I really don't know. They speak another language. I mean, have you listened to kids today? They speak an entirely new language. And so that's what's going on. And we say, I have nothing in common with them. But you do. If you have nothing else in common, you both began your journey in this world searching for truth. You have that common ground. If nothing else that you have in common, you have that in common. You're searching for truth. There's a reason why kids go through the why phase. We've all seen it, right? The kid who will ask why to every question. Some kids are worse than others. Some kids you'll sit there and you'll give them why, and they get down to why, why, why. And finally, the answer ends up being, because I said so. Because I have no other answers. Because we're all searching for something. And we all search for this. Don't feel alone if you lack understanding, because everyone is searching. But Jesus also says in this passage that the incarnation testifies to the truth. That's what he says. He says, I came into this world for this purpose. For this purpose I was born. For this purpose I have come, to bear witness to the truth. The very fact that Jesus came and was born of woman testifies to the truth. Jesus came for one reason, to reveal truth. You know, in the end, we sit there and we say, well, Jesus came to die. Yes, he did. But in dying, he revealed truth. Jesus came in order to live a sinless life. Absolutely, he did. But in doing so, he revealed truth. He didn't come to reveal a truth. And he didn't come to reveal my truth. And he didn't come to reveal your truth. He came to reveal, he said, the truth. He came to reveal something that is objective. The miracle of the virgin birth, the sinless life, the miracles, everything that Jesus did testifies to the truth. And what is that truth? Well, let's look at what John 1:17 says. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. To put it better, John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus is the truth. Everything in this world, all of the truth that it contains, finds at its root Jesus. Jesus reveals God to us, showing us the truth. Jesus shines light into our lives, revealing sin, showing us the truth. Jesus is the culmination of the revelation of God. He is the very truth of the world. Scripture tells us that all things were created by him and through him. Nothing was created that was not, that has been created. He is the creative action of God. He is the one that sets it all in motion. As the old song says, he holds the whole world in his hands. Jesus is the truth. And all truth finds its root in Jesus. There can be no truth apart from Jesus. Now, there are some scientists that try to disagree, but they come up short. One of my favorite examples I got to share recently. This is that slide I want to put up here. Shiloh is learning about plate tectonics in school, and we were talking about that here the other day. And there is this thing in plate tectonics, if you want to know what tectonics is, it's the idea that the earth has several plates, and through magma and all those good things, those plates are constantly shifting and moving. It's what causes earthquakes. It's what causes mountain ranges. It causes all of these things. Well, the theory that even scientists have is Pangaea. Pangaea is the little thing on the right. It's the fact that all of the land masses of the earth used to be together, used to be in one spot. And if you look at all of our earth now, you can kind of see the cutouts and how they come together. And there it is. And no one argues with that. Every scientist in the world says, yes, at one point, everything was together, and because of plate tectonics, it has moved apart. That is proven. That is fact. You're saying, oh, Brother Troy, that's fine. What does it have to do with anything? Well, God said that way back in Genesis chapter 10. Remember that first book of the Bible before anything else ever happened? There was a man named Eber in Genesis chapter 10 and verse 25. And to Eber were born two sons. And the name of the one son was Peleg. Peleg means division. And he was named division, for in his days the earth was divided. Oh. So science disproves God. Well, God just proved science for you right there back so many years ago. It's in the Bible. It's there. The earth was divided. God even says, yep, it used to be one place. But in the days of Peleg, it was divided. Something happened. We have theories about that. One of them is called the flood, but we'll go back on that some other time. Jesus' claims were also tried and proven to be true 3 days later. I'm God. I'm going to die, and 3 days later, I'll rebuild this temple. It happened. Jesus is the authoritative standard for righteousness. He is the truth. He came to give us a choice. We can follow the truth, we can accept the truth, or we can war against the truth. But he gives us a big promise in John chapter 8. There in verse 31, as Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Having the truth changes your life. Without the truth, you're stuck. Now, let's be honest. We're talking spiritually here, but we're not just, this isn't just a spiritual truth. There goes that word, truth. Without truth, we end up in places we don't want to be. Without truth, projects can't be finished. Have you seen how many times in the news in the past 20 or 30 years where DNA evidence brought the truth to a case that changed the life of someone, that freed them from prison, that gave them freedom? Without the truth, sometimes we paddle against the current to no avail. A couple of years ago, we bought an exercise bike for the house. And we got it, and I put it all together, and I couldn't get the pedals to go on. Couldn't get the pedals to go on. Just wouldn't go on. So I start trying to brainstorm ideas of how to get them on. I called Kevin, and I was like, Kevin, what do you think? Can we do this? Is there something we can do? And he's like, man, I don't know. That's kind of weird. I don't know why they wouldn't go on. And, you know, we talked about it for a little while. Couldn't figure it out. And so no matter what I tried, I had a useless bike. It was sitting there. You couldn't, I guess you could hold on to the things and do this, but you couldn't put the pedals on. There was nothing to do. I mean, and you're supposed to be able to sit on it and ride. You couldn't ride it. Sitting there taking up space. And I was stuck. So I went back to the instructions. I had read the instructions, ladies, but this wasn't one of those things where I had read the instructions, I had followed the instructions, but there was this one little line in tiny print on the diagram that said, these are reverse threaded. Okay. The truth. Nowhere was it in the instructions, but on this little bitty print in the diagram, it said, these are reverse threaded. Suddenly you walk up to the bike and guess what happens? The pedals went on because I had the truth. The truth changes your life. The truth can do things that you never imagined, because when you have the truth, you are walking in light. You are no longer walking in darkness. When you have the truth, you know exactly what the next step needs to be. Have you ever tried to go somewhere with someone's fuzzy directions? Remember, Carrie and I, first time we actually ever really moved any real distance away from my mom and them. We moved up to far north Texas, and that summer, all the kids, they used to come at the pool. It was a community pool. We have a pool here? Yeah, we have a pool here. Well, how do you get to it? These were the directions. Well, you go out here in front of the church, and you go down to the road to the house that used to have the tree in the front yard. What? What does that mean? Well, it's that house that used to have the tree. How do I know what house used to have the tree in the front yard? How do I figure that out? So I had to have her give me some truth, because although that was a truth, it wasn't the truth, because I don't know where it is. It's not objective. I couldn't find it. I couldn't see it. When you have truth, when you have the truth that can change your life, it can set you free. It can set you free from sin. It can set you free from bondage. It can set you free from bad thinking, from old habits. The truth can set you free and can give you a new lease on life and a new way to move and to go. He can set you free from a bad path, from a bad relationship, from a bad season of life. If you accept the truth, you can literally move from the highway to hell and begin climbing the stairway to heaven. Having the truth changes your life. And biblical witness clearly points to an objective rather than a subjective truth. There's a lot of scriptures here. 1 Kings 17, the woman says to Elijah, "Now I know that you're a man of God and that the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth." Psalm 25 says, "Lead me in your truth and teach me." Psalm 119, 160 says, "The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever." Proverbs 12 says, "Whoever speaks the truth gives honest evidence." Daniel 9:13 says, "As it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon us, yet we have not entreated the favor of our Lord, the Lord our God, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. And now I will show you the truth," the Lord says in Luke chapter 4. "But in truth I tell you, there are many widows in the days of Elijah." John 4:24 says, "God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Romans 1:18 says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth." And over in 3 John, real close to the end of the Bible, it says, "Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself." We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. It's objective. The truth is what God says it is, not what I want it to be. Oh, that's hard to hear in our current culture. Because I don't know how many times I've had somebody say to me, "But Brother Troy, my truth." Well, okay. Your truth what? Because if your truth doesn't line up with the truth, it is no longer the truth. The truth isn't flexible. It doesn't move. I cannot change truth because I want it to be different. There are relative truths. If I tell my teenager their curfew is 10 p.m. on weeknights and 11 p.m. on weekends, is that an absolute truth? No, because somebody else may have different times for their teenager as a curfew. That's a relative truth. But if I say murder is sin and murder is wrong, is it an absolute truth? Yes, because God says it is. The truth is what God says it is, not what I want it to be. I cannot change the truth to make it be what I want it to be. I can't do it. As much as I want to, as much as I want to change things, I can't do it. This series started with this truth because if there is no truth, nothing else matters. If there is no truth, nothing matters. But since there is truth, things can matter. Now here's an extra point. This is looked at truth from a spiritual standpoint, but here's the key takeaway for practical life. If there is one absolute truth, there are other absolute truths as well. That's just the logical nature of it. If there is one absolute truth, there are other absolute truths. Truth can be found. And it's not subjective. Truth will not be different for you than it is for me. Because even with the curfews, the underlying truth there still is, the parents' rule is what the truth is. Even though the times are different, that truth is still the same. Truth does not change. But this morning, we are concerned about the only truth that truly matters. Any other truth out there doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. If this carpet, how often have me and some of you ladies disagreed on the colors of my shirt? Because I don't know how many comments somebody will say, "Oh, I love that blue shirt," and I'm going, "But it's green." Or, "I love that green shirt, but it's blue." And so we disagree on that. That's what happens, right? But those truths, wherever they fall, they don't matter. The truth that matters is that Jesus is God. That He stepped out of the heavens. He walked on this earth to testify to that truth. And that if we simply know Him and accept Him as our Savior, we are guaranteed another truth, to spend eternity with Him. That's the truth. That's the truth that matters. That's the truth that we have to walk away with. That's why the fact that Jesus is the truth is the most important truth and the foundational truth for everything else. Because if Jesus isn't the truth, nothing else matters. Maybe this morning you've been struggling. You've been struggling with life, with everything that life throws at you, because, man, life throws a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just always, constantly coming at you. But here's the thing. Jesus has that world in His hand. And I heard James Merritt say this morning in his sermon, what we have to remember is whatever happens to us always happens for us. That's it. Because of God, whatever happens to us also happens for us. He uses it. He uses it, and He uses it for His glory and for our good. And that's the amazing thing about it. Today, wherever you're at, give all those things to Him. If you want to pray, the altar's open. I'll pray with you. If you want to turn into missions or ministry, if you want to join this church in membership, come on down. Maybe this morning you've never known Jesus. You've never known the truth. You've never taken a step to say, I'm going to follow Him. I want to know Him, and I want to be with Him, and I want to make sure that when this world is over, that I am standing in front of Him. Now's the time. You just come out in the aisle and you say, Brother Troy, I want to know Jesus, and we'll go from there. But wherever you're at, whatever you need, give it to Him. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now, and we thank You and we praise You for Your blessing.